Avizira's Oschas. Al titztadek biyitzrcha lemur. Do not try to justify your Yitzhara by saying the following. Ma'aseh, what can I do? Ki yitzr biv alayhu miskaber. Person can excuse all of his behavior in life by saying, Hashem, you made a Yitzhara, and you put it inside of me, and you yourself admit, as Chazal say, you yourself admit that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a small list of things kiviyachol he regrets, the Yitzhara is on that list. So you yourself know this was a failed experiment. So what do you want, Rabban Shalom? Maya said, what should I do? What can I be expected to do? The Yitzhara dwells within me, and he conquers me, he constantly defeats me. Ki os hu la'atzel. A person who would make such a claim, this is a clear indication of a person who's lazy. Person who simply surrenders to the Yitzhara and says, what can I do? And therefore my behavior is justified, is a sign of an otzel, a sign of a lazy person. His bone ain't not. Let's think for a moment together. Ha'im lanuach ba'olam. Lishon ulisaneg. Nisanuch Hashem. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu place you in this world in order to relax and to sleep and to enjoy the pleasures of this world? Do you think that's what you were created to do in this world? Obviously not. Rather, Lios Eved Lo Ves Milchamto Lilchom Bimkom Chasamucha. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created you to be an Eved to Him and to fight the good battle against the Yitzhara from wherever you find yourself. Right? That's where you've been placed. You've been positioned in the battlefield for a reason. And the goal is to be a warrior and not to be a wimp who walks away and says, ah, what can I do? I'm outmanned by the Yitzhara, so I might as well just surrender. Now, says the Piazetzner, Af al tismach v'tispa'er v'hemyas ta'avascha u'sha'ol zu'amas tola'echa asherbecha. He says, furthermore, sometimes a person will say that the fact that I have a big Yitzhara is an indication that I must be very close to a Kadosh Baruch. Let's read the words again. Aval tismach v'tispire behemyas ta'avascha. Do not rejoice and take pride in the fact that your Yitzhara is what? Hemyas means, it's a word you have in Mishlei. Hemyas means like passionate or excited. Right? Very emotional. So a person says, well, I'm a very passionate and excited person for Yitzhara. And maybe that's an indication that I'm very close to Hashem. Now, there is some truth to that statement. We've said in the past, the Gemara says, Kol ha-gadol mi-chaver, yitzro gadol imanu. The bigger you are, the bigger Yitzhara is.
Where is that Gemara?
It's in Sukkah and Daf Nun Beis. Which means if I have a big Yitzhara, that means I'm a big person. So if I have a very excited Yitzhara, if I have a lot of passion for negativity, so I could channel that towards something positive. Yet, the PSS says, don't be so quick to assume, because I'm a big Bal Taiva, and because I'm a person who has tremendous drive for negative things, that that's a sign that a Kadosh Baruch Hu must, you know, really love me. Now again, there is a lot of truth to that, and we can bring many Marmakomos to justify that truth, but he doesn't want us to so simply say, the fact that I have Taivas means all of a sudden that I'm a big Tzaddik. And that's why I'm being so greatly tested, because I'm a big Tzaddik. Again, there's many indications that if you're being tested, that is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in you. And it is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in you and is paying attention to you and is challenging you. So he says, don't so simply say that because I have an excitable Yitzhara, that's a sign that I'm close to Hashem. Lamor, that a person would claim, Os hi shemikrove Hashem ani, ves milchamto ani lochem. The fact that I have a very strong Yitzhara is a sign that I'm a good friend of Hashem, I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his battle is my battle. Ki al yedei malacho yitzro milchames kadsho bi gira. That the fact that Yitzhara is starting up with me is a sign that I am doing his work and I am fighting his Yitzhara and I'm battling his battles. Not necessarily. Now, why not necessarily? This is the part we need to explain. Why not? If you have a big Yitzhara and you're constantly struggling, isn't that a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is empowering you to fight his battles? Why not? So I think the answer is what some of the Balei Musar explain when we say Alchet Shechatanu Lefanecha B'Yetzahara. I think we mentioned this once in the past. What does it mean Alchet Shechatanu Lefanecha B'Yetzahara? The Alchet are usually Alchet that I did a specific Aver. What do you mean Alchet that I sinned against you with the Yetzahara? It's very general. Every Aver is with the Yetzahara. So some of the Balei Musar explain that there's Yetzaharas that we have and there's Yetzaharas that we don't have. There's things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has implanted within us. It's the way we are. Bamas. And then there are things, our Yetzaharas, that we create for ourselves. There are taivas that are not necessarily our avoda, but we make it our avoda. We get involved in things we shouldn't get involved with. And then we create, we produce, and we expand our Yetzaharas to create new taivas and to create new struggles. So the struggles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, the nisyonos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws your way, those are be'emes. Those are Hashem's nisyonos, and that is doing Hashem's work, and that is fighting His battles. But sometimes, a person brings trouble upon himself. So you can't bring trouble upon yourself and then take credit for it. A person can't bring trouble upon himself and then take credit for it. We saw Salanter has a famous line about that. That Rav Funder quotes in one of the Pachad Yitzchak, so I don't remember where. Right? That don't be so proud of the fact that you like brought yourself into a nisayon and then you were victorious. No one asked you to bring yourself into it. Hashem is going to send you nisyonos. But you don't need to sign up for extra nisyonos. Achit shechatanu lefanecha b'yetzahara means, Hashem, I regret the fact that I created new yetzaharas that weren't really part of my avoda. That I made my life more complicated than it already was. And that's what I think the PSS are saying here. Right? So don't think that you're so close to Hashem because I'm battling the Yetzirah. Maybe you created that Yetzirah. Maybe you created that time. Ki mi ya'arov l'cha sh'shliach Hashem hu? Hashem izgara ata b'cha. Who's to say for sure? Who can sign off on you? Who can vouch for the fact that whatever you're struggling with is sent from Hashem? Maybe you're just foolish and you brought it upon yourself. Maybe you like rolled around in the mud and then you clean yourself up and say, wow, look how clean I am. You say, well, you're an idiot for rolling around in the mud. Who told you to roll around in the mud? You didn't get splashed by a car that drove by. You jumped in a muddy puddle. So of course you got dirty. And then you clean yourself up and you pat yourself on the back. Wow, look how clean I am. So who's to say for sure that you're Shliach of Hashem? V'lo sichi ashpascha sha'atam izgola behen tamid b'cha martiach. Right? Sichi means the filth. The filth of your own garbage. Maybe you're rolling in your own garbage. Maybe you're collecting garbage and then rolling around in it and then cleaning yourself up and say, wow, look how great I am. So maybe that's where it's coming from. Maybe all those taivas that are boiling inside of you are coming from you. Who's to say you're Shliach Hashem? Gam b'sha'ol shofech ha'malach duma so asa al-perei ha'ish lemur tol ma'asha b'charta. It could be that in the next world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the malach duma, which the Gemara describes as one of the malachim who works alongside the Yetzihara slash Satan slash malach ha'maves. It's all the same malach. And the malach is going to, you know, splash the, literally, tzoa literally means excrement.
Which Gemara is that?
Where's the Gemara talk about Duma?
Yeah.
There's a Gemara in Chagiga that talks about Duma. That the Malach HaMaves told Duma to go bring him Miriam. Go bring me the Neshama of Miriam. Miriam, the one who braids people's hair. So the Malach went and brought Miriam, the one who... Miriam, the school teacher. So the Malach HaMaves says, you messed up, you brought the wrong person. So should I go send the person back? So, nah, once you take the neshama, you can't really send it back. So the Gemara has a whole question. Well, how is the malach able to take someone's neshama before it's time? The Gemara is discussing a pasuk. Pasuk says, Yesh, what's the pasuk? There are those who are gathered before their time. What's the lashon of the pasuk? Yardei Duma. Yeah, Duma is the name of this malach. Exactly, Yardei Duma.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, how did the Malach get the wrong neshama? So it says, because the person put herself, Miriam put herself in a dangerous situation. And when a person's in a dangerous situation, then they're susceptible to punishment. So that's how that whole thing happened. But anyways, Yardei Duma, yeah. Duma is one of the trusted assistants of the Malach HaMavis. Okay, so again, a person's going to come to Gehenim. And a person's going to realize, right, that, oh, you pretended this whole time, no, I don't really want these Yetzaharas, and I was fighting these Yetzaharas, and you're going to get called out in the next world when the Malach Duma comes and throws the filth in your face and says, here, Tol Masha Bacharta. Take what you wanted. I know what you wanted all along. You pretended like, no, but really I was fighting against it. No, you aren't. You were bringing it upon yourself, and then you were fighting against it. So is that really such a maila? And you're pretending you're winning battles for Hashem? V'efshir kol chayecha min sh'olu. It could be your whole life is a living hell. Is a sh'ol, it's sh'ol tachtis. Is one big form of this foolishness. V'zelechaos. So here's the indication. Here's the sign. How do you know if I'm just being foolish and getting myself into trouble and then pretending to fight battles for Hashem and making excuses that I'm living in such tough times and there's so many temptations? Right? And how do I know if a person is truly, in a genuine sense, fighting the battles of Hashem and being victorious and conquering territory and being Moisif Aholich, the Indian of Chanukah? So he says, here's the sign, here's the indication. When the Yetzirah strikes you, do you hit back twice as hard? Forget not surrendering to the Yetzirah. For every time he took advantage of you, do you take advantage of him? Or do you just like push back a little bit to pat yourself on the back and say, you know, look, Hashem, I'm trying, you know, I'm doing a good job. Am I conquering the Yetzirah? Am I covering ground? Am I gaining new territories? For every time he hit me, did I hit back twice as hard? Look at the footnote. He quotes Rashi in Sanhedrin. Reparish Rashi, Sanhedrin Kuf Yud Aleph. Al Yargiz Yetzir, on that statement of Yargiz Yetzir Tov al Yetzirah, when Rashi describes to us what it means to be Yargiz the Yetzir Tov on the Yetzirah, Shalo Bilvat Shalo Yishmol Olav Oraveira. It's not enough to just not give in to his... to the temptations of the Yetzirah to not commit the sin. Rakam yasa mitzvah kishamafateyu laveira. Strike back by saying, you want me to sin? I'm going to hit back and I'm going to do a mitzvah. So that's an indication that a person is truly a warrior fighting on behalf of a Kaddish Baruch. So again, says the Piyaz Esther, imalaka asher yakha yitzricha, every time the Yetzirah hits you, pa'amayim tashiv lo. Not only do I not do the Aveira, but I hit back in a way to do a mitzvah. That's a sign that I'm a warrior in Hashem's army. And then you should rejoice over your Yitzhara. Because even though the Yitzhara sometimes has short-term victories over you, but for every time he wins one battle, you win two. So overall, for every dollar you lost, you gained two. Okay, so overall you're making money. Overall, you're making money. That's good. Then you should rejoice over the Yetzirah, and the struggle against the Yetzirah overall has a gain, and therefore rejoice, celebrate the fact that you have a Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah challenges you to reach new heights. About im esma lume yitzracha hamizoham bachna tekabel. But if the filthy and repulsive strikes of the Yetzirah, you accept. You just duck your head and receive the blows of the Yetzirah smacking you over the head. Lo tariyat truas bilchama, and you don't cry out a battle cry, you don't scream back as you're fighting. If you're not engaged in the battle, lo tirgaz v'lo tinatzeach, if you're not going to arouse the Yetzer, right? Lo yargiz Yetzer Tov Yetzer, if you're not going to arouse the Yetzer Tov to fight back, then you're not going to win, and you're not going to be victorious. As lo al nifilas chabavad te'avel. Then not only should you mourn the averas that you came to do, then the Yitzhar itself, you should lament. You should feel burdened by, bothered by, regret having. Why? Because the Yitzhar is only getting you into further and further trouble, as opposed to using it as a malach Hashem tzvakos to help you to find your true potential. Ki kol olamcha rak she'olhi, because your whole life again is a living hell. Because the Yetzirah is living with you every step of the way. Again, the Gemara Bava Basra says that the Yetzirah and the Satan and the Malach HaMavis are all the same. Which means that if I'm living alongside my Yetzirah without any control of my Yetzirah, then I'm living in Gehenna. My life is Gehenna. Because Gehenna is also when I'm in the hands of the, call it the Satan, call it the Malach HaMavis, call it the Yetzirah. So my life becomes a living hell. And he concludes again, very crude type of imagery, but he's trying to make a strong point. Pereshcha al panecha shafuch. Again, your excretion, your excrement is spilled out over your face, right? The refuse of your life is literally right in front of you and all over you. Tol masha b'charta. And take what you've chosen, because that's what you really desire. And the fact that you're not willing to fight for something more shows you that, like, as much as you know, once in a while, you say, oh, Hashem, you know, I wish I'd be more in control of my situation. But you're not doing anything about it. You're not helping yourself. In fact, you're allowing yourself to discover new Yetzirahs, but dafka not guarding yourself. And you're not striking back, and you're not trying to cover ground. And you're not saying, oh, I had a really bad day, Yetzirah got the better of me, so tomorrow I'm going to demand to myself, you know, a double effort, connect the Yetzirah. But you're allowing him, you're just ducking your head and receiving the punches of the Yetzirah. Right? And saying, Hashem, have rachmanis on me, it's tough. And Hashem says, no, tol masha b'charta, take what you've chosen for yourself. This is your ratzon. If your ratzon is to take a beating from the Yetzirah, that's what you're going to get. Okay, so let's see. Take a pass. Here's a few more. Yeah.
Once you've already overcome it.
Yeah, only a person. Again, what he's not telling us is that you need to destroy Yetzirah completely. And we'll see very clearly in the Marbakoas that we're going to look at now, that the Avodah for us is not to destroy Yetzirah completely. That's not the reality. But the Avodah is to be a warrior. And the Avodah is to overall have a game.
Why not the goal to overcome?
Of course that's the goal, but as Beinonim, it's not reality. As we'll see in the Tanya. Okay, we're going to do a little makeup for Yetes Kislev. Even though this is not what I wanted to share with you in Yetes Kislev. That's something else. I'll have to save it for another time. Is what to show. I hope so. I had some good stuff here. I'm really sorry. Okay. In the Siach Sarfei Kodesh, in Parshas Vayakel, we know that in Parshas Vayakel, the Nesiim, along with the rest of Klal Yisrael, are bringing gifts to the Mishkan. And the Pasuk comments, the Torah says, "Nesiim eviu as avnei shalom." The Nesiim brought the very precious stones known as the Avnei Shalom. But you'll notice, and Rashi picks up on it, Chazal pick up on it, the fact that the word Nesiim is spelled Chaser. It's spelled Chaser, it's lacking the letter Yud. So, in the Siyal Sarfei Kodesh, a quote from HaChaser Ben Sion from Ostrov, Siper B'Shem Hagona Kadosh HaChadush HaRim, said in the name of the first Ger Rebbe, Shehiksha HaPasek V'HaNesiim, Pasek says V'HaNesiim, the Nesiim brought, Nesiim Heviu. Rashi writes, it's Chasav Chasar Yud. Why is it written without the letter Yud? Rav Nation is Atzlu, Chasar Yud Mishamosim. The Nesiim were lazy. Everyone else had already brought donations to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. And the Nesiim said, we'll fill in whatever's left at the end. And they saw that the Avnei Shoam had yet to be donated. So the Nesiim came along and they donated. Now, you could argue that that's not lazy. That was very responsible. Let everyone else give what they can give, and then we're prepared to cover and to fill in any gaps. Chazal detected a little bit of a laziness. Right? That mentality of let's sit back and let everyone else go first, and then we'll fill in all the gaps could be seen as very noble and very, very wonderful, or it could be seen as very lazy. So Chazal say the Torah is hinting to us the fact that the letter Yud has been removed from the name of the Nesiim. The Nesiim are Chaser, implies that they're lacking, on there's an imperfection. And the imperfection was that they were lazy, and they brought their gift last. Again, albeit it was a very nice gift, but since they brought it last, there was something that's chaser, something lacking in their service of Hashem. So the Chiddush Rebbe said, so why is dafka the letter Yud missing from the word Nesiim? So the Chiddush Rebbe explained, lama chaser dafka Yud v'lo osacher v'amar shalakol atzel chaser Yud v'havein ma'od. Because any time a person's acting lazy, then there's a chisaron in his yud. A Jew is called a yid. The letter that corresponds to the Jewish people is the letter yud. When a Jew acts lazy, when a Jew is not prepared to fight against the Yitzhara, when a Jew is guilty of what the Piyazester says in the very first line, where a person says, Ma'aseh, ki yetzer biv alai hu miskaber, ki osu la'atzel. If you're not fighting, then you're not a yid. A Jew's meant to fight. A Jew's meant to fight. The missing letter yud is a reminder that a Jew who's not struggling, who's not fighting, a Jew who's lazy, right, is lacking a yud. He's lacking in the basic quality of what makes the Jewish people the Jewish people. The Jewish people are meant to be zrizim. We left Mitzrayim, we had matzah. Right? We left Mitzrayim with matzah, and we left b'chipazon, and the foundation of our people is b'zrizus. Is a willingness to push ahead. And tana chas v'shalom, throw up our hands and to say, oh, there's too many obstacles, there's too many challenges. That's not our world. That's the world of our enemy Yosef. This past Shabbos, those of us who went to shul, I say that because I was in Hackensack Hospital. I didn't go to shul this Shabbos, so I kind of missed out on landing. Kind of lost my connection to this week's parsha a little bit. But, nonetheless, the pasuk says that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, took a Pilagesh and her name was Timnah. In source number 2, V'Timnah Esav Pilagesh Eliphaz ben Esav, V'Teilet Eliphaz as Amalek, and from that world comes Amalek, Eile ben Adah Eshaz Esav. There's a Vart from Moshe of Kibrit, it's quoted in the Sefer Torah Avos, explaining a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Timnah was an interesting lady. Timnah came to Klal Yisrael originally and said, I'd like to join the Jewish people. And they weren't Makabala. She wanted to convert. She was interested in becoming a Gioris. And for whatever reason, the Jewish people turned her away. Now, Chazal are a little bit critical because the fact that the Jews didn't embrace Timnah, she ends up marrying Eliphaz, son of Esav. And from their union comes Amalek. So Amalek came about from our rejection of this woman, Timnah. And again, there's what to say in terms of criticizing Klal Yisrael for turning her away. But there's also, obviously, a plemius to why we turned her away. And we know from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Arizal, many other tzaddikim, that the name of a person is the essence of the person. Timnah, Rav Moshe of Kibrit explained, Timnah is milashon miniyah, which means what? An obstacle. A miniyah means something that gets in the way. So why did the Jewish people, says Rav Moshe of Kibrit, why did they turn away this woman whose name was Timnah? So the Kibriner said, because the Jewish people are not makabel obstacles. We're not makabel things that get in the way. We're not makabel, we don't surrender to the Yitzhar and say, what can I do? It's too hard, it's too difficult. I might as well just, you know, let the Yitzhar get the better of me, and I'll, again, the lashon that the Pinchas used at the end here, right? To be makabel, as mahalome yitzvacha hamizohamim b'achna tikabel. The word minia, mem nun yud, Aleph, ayin hey, miniyah means what? To block or to prevent. Right? An obstacle. Something that gets in the way. So the Kibriner, or Moshe of Kibrin said, the reason the Jewish people weren't makabel, this woman Timnah, is because we're not makabel obstacles. We're not okay with the thought that there are walls that are too big to climb, or there are yitzharas that are too big to fight. The Jewish people, the metzias of the Jewish people is to fight. And to believe that I always have bechira, I can always choose to fight. I can't always choose to win, but I can always choose to fight. And that's the yisod. Again, Yoda, I think that's the answer. It's not that the Pesach doesn't want us to defeat the Yitzhara. David HaMelech defeated the Yitzhara, and Avram turned his Yitzhara into another Yitzhar Tov. Of course that's the greatest goal, and the tzaddikim are zocha to achieve such a thing. But there's no excuse not to fight. There's no excuse not to push back. Again, you see why this is a hemshech of the previous piece, in Ozayin. Swimming upstream, pushing against the public opinion, right? Because the greatest voice that's confronting me is the voice of the Yitzhara, and I have to learn how to at least be a fighter, to not allow myself to simply surrender, and to never ever give up my right to choose to fight. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in the fifth parak reminds us of the basic rules of humanity, of life itself. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given a Jew free will. Which means there is no Yetzer Hara that you can't fight against to the best of your ability. To surrender is an abandonment of your free will, which is an abandonment of your very life. The Rambam in source number 3, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva in the fifth parak, in the first three halachos. I chopped it up a little bit, but you have the key lashonos. Rishus l'chol adam nesuna. Permission has been granted to all. In Ratzel Lahatos Atzvel Lederech Tova Vios Tzadik. You can choose to be a Tzadik. That choice is yours. Havishus Biyado. In Ratzel Lahatos Atzvel Lederech Rav Vios Rasha Havishus Biyado. And if you want to be a Rasha, That's also a choice. That's a choice. That's a premeditated decision. And you can't excuse yourself and say, no, it's just Hashem, it's so hard for me. No, you're being lazy. You're not fighting, you're not trying. Al Yavor continues the Rambam in Halacha Beis. Al Yavor in the third line. Do not let it enter your machshava. That many, many foolish people from the world try to convince us and try to tell us. And unfortunately, many members of the Jewish people say the same. That it's predetermined whether you're going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. Ein hadavar kein, says the Rambam. It's not true. Elakol adam roi lo liot tzaddik kemoshe rabbeinu or rasha kirava. The choice is yours. Any mida, any taiva, right? Everything can be worked upon. And he concludes three lines from the end. V'davar ze ikar gadol hu, v'amur ha-torah v'ha-mitzvah. Right? Hashem says, I've placed before you today life. Uvacharta b'chayim. L'mantichya. You have the ability to choose life. To choose life. Choose life means choose Torah and mitzvahs. Ah, but it's so hard for me, Hashem. Hashem, you don't really even understand the full pain of my Yitzhar. Hashem says, yes, I do. I know exactly what it is. I know exactly the Yitzhar I gave you. I've seen the choices you've made to make your life more difficult. And of course I understand, but you always have the right to choose. Now, I know I might get myself into trouble for the next source, but I think it's very important. Rav Avram Shor, in his Yom Noram volume of Halakach Valivov, and the Shabbos Shuva Drasha, talks about this Rambam and man's Bechira. And a man can always choose. Now, I would never, God forbid, try to make fun of anyone who's struggling, whether it's mental illness or emotional illness. These things are real. And sometimes a person does need medicine, and a person does need a psychologist or a psychiatrist or some type of guidance counselor to coach a person through life. That's all very important. And in our world today, we have a lot of sensitivity to those things. But, as much as and I'm not saying that as apologetics, that's a real thing. We spoke about the Ma'amar Chazal, Daiga Belev Ish, that if a person has troubles in his heart, he should talk it out with someone. So that's something that Chazal sign off on. But there's a danger, culturally, there's a very great danger when we create a culture of addiction. And we create a culture where I'm not able to be in control of my own life, and without someone coaching me through my life, I can't do it, and I label myself as I'm an addict, and that becomes what? That becomes the excuse for my behavior. In that piece, he quotes from Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal. He quotes from Rav Aaron. Rav Avram Shor quotes in source number 4 that Rav Aaron Cutler said that Chochmas HaPsychologia, psychology, modern psychology, has caused some damage to what? To this basic principle the Rambam is calling an Ikar Gadol as Jews. And what the Rambam is saying, that Tipshei Uvas Ha'olam V'rov Golmei B'nei Yisrael, that many Jews and many foolish people from the non-Jewish nations of the world stumble in, and that is what? The notion that my life is predetermined. And that there's certain things that cannot be controlled. And Rav Aaron said, there's a danger, the wisdom of psychology is such that it's Ma'achisha Ha'koach Shal Ha'odam Sheyesh Lo Bechira. It confronts and challenges the notion that man has free will. I saw an article, it was just published this week, actually. It was Bashkacha, I stumbled upon it. And it's a very interesting article. It's written by a fellow named Mark Lewis, who's a neuroscientist, recently retired professor of development psychology at the University of Toronto, where he was a professor for about 20 years or so. And then at some university in the Netherlands. His latest book is The Biology of Desire, 2015. But this article just came out, I think maybe yesterday or the day before. Okay, here's what he writes. 3 years ago, I put out a call to my blog community. Would anyone be willing to tell me the story of their addiction from start to finish in all of its gory detail for the book I am writing? The book would combine an account of brain change and addiction with subjective descriptions of what it's like to live inside addiction. More than 100 people replied. 2 years later, I recorded intimate biographies of a heroin addict, a meth addict, an alcoholic, a pill popper, and someone with an eating disorder, and my book, The Biology of Desire, was published in 2015. I already knew a lot about addiction. I had struggled with my own drug compulsion back in my 20s and lost most of what I valued as a result. But then I quit, returned to university, earned a PhD in development psychology, and went on to become a professor at the University of Toronto. And he goes on to describe as a professor what he did. But then he said an amazing thing. He said, over the years, I started to realize that unfortunately, when we allow people to label themselves as addicts, right, sometimes that becomes the trap itself. That once I've decided, this is who I am, right? That I'm suffering from this, and that becomes an excuse. Because I'm addicted to this, then I can't choose in the next moment. And the Rambam's saying that's not true. The Rambam says that that's not true. When I returned to addiction, it was with a scientist studying the addicted brain. The data were indisputable. Brains change with addiction. I wanted to understand how and why. I wanted to understand addiction with fastidious objectivity, but I didn't want to lose touch with its subjectivity, how it feels, how hard it is, the hulu in the process. The suffering, the intense effort, failure, and eventual triumph I remembered from my own years of addiction coursed through each of the biographies that I collected. Each revealed the agonizing counterpoint of fear and shame sculpted by addiction. And he gives some of the examples of the people who wrote to him. But he goes on in this article, and he says, unfortunately, right? He says, unfortunately, the reality is that it's our willingness to accept addiction that makes us addicted. That our brains actually undergo a change because we convince ourselves, oh, this is my thing. He says, secondly, we now know that drugs don't cause addiction. Right? It's not the drug itself that causes the addiction. That it's the willingness to become an addict that allows us to be addicted. And he goes on, and again, there's a lot of very interesting, it's a long article, I'm not going to read the whole thing. His name is Mark Lewis. Mark Lewis. But he goes on to basically describe that we do a disservice to people by telling them that they need that. Again, obviously, a person sometimes does need that help to get started. But there's something very crippling about that whole notion that I can only be helped by someone outside of myself. That I don't have the physical strength to fight back against my own yetzer hara. Again, whatever it is. Yes, over time, as we make those walls bigger, of course, we become convinced that it's harder to break down those walls. But the goal is to at least be fighting, because if I'm pushing back, then at least what? Then at least slowly, I can chip away at it. But this feeling of surrender, that there's a mania of a timna haisaishas pilagish alifas ben esav, that world of complete surrender and saying, no, it's impossible, that it's impossible. That's not the language that the Jewish people speak. Yaakov shows up at the well 2 weeks ago, and the shepherds are sitting around. And he says, Chaver, what's going on? So we cannot take the rock off the well. So Yaakov says, we cannot take. What do you mean you can't? Are you trying? You're sitting here. Not everyone's here yet. Okay, I understand. But why can't you try? Why can't the chaver who's here try? And then Yaakov goes over himself and plucks the rock off the well, like plucking a cork out of a bottle. Rashi says, Chazal say. So why aren't you trying? Why aren't you at least trying? And again, that's the danger, the psychological danger of labeling ourselves as people who can't. Right? The mitzvah of the Jewish people is that we do try. That we turn, as the Sfarim say, we turn every koisel, we turn every wall into tuchal. Tuchal. When Yaakov fights the Malach in this past week's parsha, what does it say? You fought against angels and you fought against men, vatuchal, and you were able, you are able. Turn a kotel, same letters, as tuchal. Turn those walls into what? Into possibilities. To say, what do you mean? I can do this. And I'm not going to surrender. At the very least, I'm going to be someone who fights. Rashi, in this week's parsha, in source number 5, says that Yaakov Avinu decided that he had had enough. He had fought enough. Yaakov says, listen, I dealt with an Esav, and I dealt with a Lavan, and I dealt with my daughter being raped. I've been through enough. Vayeshev Yaakov Bikish Yaakov Leishi B'shalva, says Rashi. Yaakov says, I've had enough struggles in my life, thank you very much. I fought enough battles, and now it's time for me to relax a little bit. And all of a sudden, his biggest struggle emerges. Kafat Salav, Rogzo Shel Yosef. Immediately, the wrath of Yosef, the troubles of Yosef, begin to brew. Says Rashi in source number 5, Tzadikim Mevakim Leishe B'Shalva, a tzaddik sometimes says, I think I've done my fair share of fighting, it's time to rest a little bit. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nah, you'll rest in the next world. As long as you're in this world, let's keep fighting. B'Kesh Yaakov Leishe B'Shalva. And all of a sudden Yosef comes along. There's a lot going on here between Yaakov and Yosef. It's very Hanukkah-dick. We know Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef. That's this week's parsha. Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef. That Yosef looks exactly like Yaakov, and the experience of Yosef is the experience of Yaakov. The Sfarim connect in a very, very strong way Hanukkah and Sukkot. We know that Yaakov is connected to Sukkot. The Torah writes, not the Torah, the Tor, the Arbaturim. The Tor, Rav Yaakov ben Asher writes in his Tor, in Siman Tov Yud Zayin, Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, he says that Avram corresponds to Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuos, and Yaakov is Sukkot. Yosef is Chanukah. So there's a very strong, Eila told us Yaakov Yosef, right? There's a very strong connection between Sukkot and Chanukah. Chanukah is really the hemshich of Sukkot. Just like Sukkot is Hachutzah, you put the Sukkot outside. So to the Chanukah menorah is Hachutzah. There's a lot of, just like Sukkot is 8 days, Chanukah is 8 days. There's a lot of connections between Eila told us Yaakov and Yosef. But I was thinking just this morning, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Yaakov says, I'm Sukkot. My whole inyan is Sukkot. Just leave me, let me sit a little. My whole inyan is Sukkot, Yeshiva B'Sukkot. Let me just sit. And Eila told us, Yaakov. No, Yosef. Yosef is what? Yosef is Moshe V'Holech. No, there's more to do. There's more to do. Hanukkah. You got to keep spreading the light. You got to keep, there's still too much darkness needs to be conquered. Yaakov says, my whole inyan, my Yom Tov is Sukkot. I just want to sit. Leishe B'Sukkah. I want to close the doors. I want to lock myself in the Sukkah. And finally be left alone from the world. And yet, no. The tullus of Yaakov is Yosef. Bikesh Yaakov leishim b'shalva. He says, I just want a little bit of menuchas hanefesh, a little yishuv hadas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. A Jew is not entitled to yishuv hadas in this world. The tzaddik himself has to keep fighting in this world. And when I was thinking about this Rashi, it reminded me of a famous letter from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner, in the Igros Pachad Yitzchak, it's a famous letter. Several parts of this letter that are famous. It's a beautiful, beautiful letter. Rav Huttner writes in source number 6 that he received a letter from a fellow who was struggling with his Yetzirah, who felt that he was really in the battle. Kishenar bal ruach bal sheifa bal tesisa motzi ba'atzo mechsholim nefilos yiridos harei hu dome be'enav kibilti shasul be'beis Hashem. When a young man, a youthful person, a spirited person, a person of great drive and ambition, finds that he's struggling and he's stumbling, and there's ups and downs, and he feels what? Bikish Yaakov Leshe B'Shalva. Yaakov, the Ishtam Yoshev Awol. The person who's a Torah-dick person says, I just want to sit a little. I want to sit with my Gemara and just be left alone for a couple of minutes without so many distractions. He feels frustrated that he's not shasul b'veis Hashem, that he's not planted, firmly planted, in the house of Hashem. Shilifi dimyonos shel na'ar zeh, because the dimyon of a na'ar, the foolishness of a young person who thinks, what does it mean to be close to Hashem would be just to be left alone from the world. Lios shasul b'veis Hashem peirusho means what? Hu lasheves b'shalvas hanefesh al na'os desha shomei minuchos. Bikish Yaakov Leishet B'Shalva. This week's parsha. V'le'anos mi'yitzra tov. I just want to be left alone with my yitzra tov. K'derach ha'tzadikim nanim miziv ha'shchina. That the tzadikim in the world to come are going to sit in Gan Eden with their crowns on their heads. B'mesivas Gan Eden. That's exactly what Yaakov wanted. Yaakov, ish tam yoshev olim. I want to be sitting in the tents of Torah left alone. U'li'idach gisa. And yet, on the other hand, right, the side that I'm trying to avoid, lolios murgas misaras hayetzer adelach hakasov shel b'meisim chafshi. I just want to be freed from what? From the clutches of the Yetzirah. I don't want to always be in the tumult of this world. That's how a young person thinks. That's why you're writing me this letter, says Rav Huttner. Says Rav Yitzchak Huttner, avaldol lecha chavivi sheshoresh nishmasra hu lo ha-shalva shel ha-yetzirah. Shel ha-yetzir tov, I'm sorry. The shoresh of your soul is not to what? To be left alone with the peace of mind of the Yetzir Tov. Eladafka milchamto shel ha-yetzirah. That's what the PSS Rebbe is telling us. That a Jew who's not lacking in the quality of the Yud, the Nesiyim who were Otzel, were lacking in an essential part of what it means to be a Jew. But a Jew has to know that I want to fight. I dafka want to fight. I want to fight with my Yitzhar Tov against the Yitzhar. He says, this beautiful letter that you wrote to me testifies like 100 witnesses. You are one of the soldiers in the army of the Yetzer Tov. Lose a battle and win the war. Lose a battle and win the war. That's how it's printed in the safe. That's how Rafunder wrote the letter. In English, they say sometimes you lose a smaller battle, but you win a war. That's what the Piazzetzer Rebbe is saying. That for every time he hits you, you hit back what? Twice as much. Yes, are you going to be hurting at the end? Yaakov was hurting when he fought against Saul Shalisov. But he won. But he won. You sometimes have to lose battles. The Yitzhara will beat you up sometimes, but you have to keep fighting. Rav Adler says, I guarantee there's going to be other times where you mess up. And he writes, I'm not trying to curse you, but that's the Metzias. Uvakama rachos tipol shadud. And you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to lose. Some of your spoils are going to be taken captive. And you might be taken captive at times. Avani mavtivcha lecha shal achar hafsid kolam arachos teitim in a machamba. Kishazer anitzachon al roishcha. But in the end, you're going to come out wearing the crown of the champ. You're going to come out wearing that crown of victory. Lose battles, but win wars. That's Rav Adler's advice. It's okay. Lose battles, but win wars. As opposed to the person who's not willing to fight, who's going to lose battles and lose wars. Hachacha mikol adam amar. Shlomo Melech, the wisest of men, said, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. How do you translate that pasuk? Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. The tzadik falls seven times, but he gets back up. That's how most people translate it. Hatip shemchoshim, foolish people think that the kavana is b'derech habusa. It's saying even though he fell seven times, but he got back up. Nonetheless, he got up. But a chacham understands that no, that it's dafka through falling seven times that he got up. It's not despite the fact that he fell seven times he got up. It's dafka because he was willing to fight and he was willing to take a punch. Right? He was able to what? To become stronger. The person who's too scared, right? You know at times a figure skater has to fall, trying to figure out how to do a flip in the air on ice? But if you're not willing to fall countless times, then you'll never be able to do it. If you're not willing to get beat up, then you're not gonna become a champ. If you're not willing to tear muscle, you're not gonna build muscle. So therefore, the foolish person says, oh, despite getting beat up, he got back up. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. The chacham knows that, no. Shemuhos hakima shel tzadik hu derech sheva nefilos shalom. That it's dafka by falling that it becomes great. V'yar es kol asher asav yinei tov ma'od. Says the Medrash, when Hashem looked at his world, and he said, wow, my world is gevaldik. Says the Medrash, tov is yetzer tov. Ma'od is yetzer hara. Turn to the top of page 2. So says Rav Adler, my beloved friend, from the fact that you wrote me this letter and told me that you're struggling, this letter is not just Tov, this letter is Tov Ma'od. This letter expresses that you have a Yetzer Hara, this letter is Tov Ma'od, the Medrash says. Tov is just Yetzer Tov. Tov Ma'od is Yetzer Hara. If you're a fighter, right, then that's Tov Ma'od. If you have a Yetzer Hara, then Gevaldik, you're so fortunate. Like again, like the Chazon Ish said to that fellow who came to him and said, oh, my friend, he's such a tzaddik, Yimamish doesn't have a Yetzirah. And the Chazon Ish said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear, your friend's a Baal Mum. Your friend is blemished, I'm so sorry to hear he doesn't have a Yetzirah. I'm so sorry he has no battles to fight anymore. His letter is Tov Ma'ot. And I give you a bracha, says Rav Adler, that again, you'll be that tzaddik, who by way of the seven times that you fell, you'll be able to become the tzaddik. It's not despite falling you became a tzaddik. That because you fell, and you were willing to fight, that eventually became a tzaddik. The Tanya tells us in Parakh of Zion that most of us are not expected to win wars. Our job is just to battle. Tzaddikim have the ability to conquer the Yetzirah. But many of us, this might be surprising, I remember the first time I saw it, it was a shocking idea. Many of us are supposed to spend our whole life on the battlefield, just fighting. The Tanya writes in Parakh of Zion, V'lechein, al yipol leva adam alav, Do not become depressed. V'lo yera levavo ma'od. Don't be despondent. Don't be saddened. Gam im yeh kein kol yamav b'mochama zu. Ki ulai l'kach nivra. Don't be bothered by the fact that what? That you're constantly fighting, you're constantly struggling. Maybe that's what you were created to do. To constantly fight. V'zos avodasol. L'chaf yilas etra achra tavit. To constantly suppress the forces of negativity in the world. V'alzeh amar iyo barasa reshaim. Feloshiu Risham Be'emes. What does it mean when it says Hashem created Risham? I thought the Rambam told us that man has the choice to choose not to be a Rasha. What do you mean, God, you made me a Rasha? Says the Baal Tanya, Chas Hashem, that Hashem made you a Rasha. It just means what? El Shiagi Aleim Kemaisa Risham Be'machshavasam. Sometimes you'll have wicked thoughts that enter into your mind. Ve'ehurim Levad. Ve'heim Yu Nilchamim Tamin La'siach Daita Mehem Kedei Lachafi L'Sitracha. And you'll spend your whole life trying to conquer those thoughts. Trying to control those desires. You'll never be able to completely destroy it. But you'll be a fighter. And if you're a fighter, then you're a good Jew, says the Baal Tanya. That's maybe what you were created to do in this world, to fight. Not to focus so much on the vatuchal, the victories, but to focus on what? Kisarisa. The Malach says to Yaakov Avinu after he fought him in this past week's Parsha, Kisarisim Elokim v'manashim vatuchal, your name is going to be Yisrael. Asks of Label Eger in source number 9. I don't understand. If the whole point of his name is that he is Batuchal, that he turned the Kaisel into a Tuchal, that he was victorious, so shouldn't Yaakov's new name reflect the victory? Why is his name Yisrael? The very name Yisrael means Kisarisa, because you battled. Why is the greater name of the Jewish people, Yisrael, based on the battle? Says Rav Label Eger, because that's all you can choose to do. That's what the PSS Rebbe is telling us. You can't decide to win battles. You can only decide to fight battles. And hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you in your courageous effort to fight. That yes, you may lose some battles, but you'll win the war. Sof kol sof, you'll win the war. Says Rav Label Eger in the third line in source number 9. Number MS etzem anitzuach hu mat naschina me'Hashem yisbach. V'lo mikoach baser v'dam klal. To actually win the battle is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not up to you. Whatever I have was given to me by Hashem. V'chiyeshli kol, says Rav Label Eger, hu mamish inyan vatuchal. Yeshli kol, the victories come from Hashem. Yeshli kol, Hashem gave it to me. Chanani Elokim, Hashem gave it to me. However, what can I choose to do? And what can I do to get myself in position for Hashem to give me the gift of victory? Yaakov will not receive a name that expresses victory. Yaakov's name is a reflection of what? Of his willingness to fight. Of his willingness to battle. To not focus on the results, but to focus on the effort. To continue to push back. The same way in Parshas Lech Lecha, you see in the Svarim, they talk a little bit about this. In the pasuk when Avram and Lot part ways, in Perek Yud Gimel and Lech Lecha, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that he says to him, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Right? It's not just enough, I'll stay here and you pick a direction you want to go. If you go in one way, I'll go the opposite direction. Again, you look at the Yisfach Moshe and the Ruga Sabosa and different Svarim talk about that Mimer. That pasuk, which Chazal have a Maimer Chazal, I think it's the Zohar Kadosh, talking about the Yitzhar Tov, the Yitzhara. But if you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. I'll push back in the opposite direction, and I'll cover ground in the opposite direction. I'm not just going to stay in the middle. That I'm gonna keep fighting to try to cover ground. And when a person is willing to fight, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I'll give you the victories. And that's why Kisarisa, Yisrael was named for the fight, not for the victories. Of course, on Chanukah, in the Al HaNisim, we say, thank you Hashem for the Mochamos. Which is a very funny thing that many Sfarim raise the question. I understand the Al HaNisim, I understand Al HaPorkan, I understand Al HaGvuros, I understand Al HaChuos. I understand the Sach Sfarim, Al HaNefloss, Al HaChamos. What I don't understand is Al HaMochamos. Thank you for the battles. Why am I thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? So Rav Shalom Shwadron in his Leif Shalom on Chumash Bereishis says, because we're thanking Hashem that there were Jews who knew how to battle. When most Jews had given up, when most Jews had chosen to surrender to the Avanim, there were Jews who still knew how to fight. And that was a gevaldik thing. Thank you Hashem for allowing a handful of Jews, Kohanim, the family of Torah, who knew that no, that a ben Torah bikesh Yaakov leishe v'shalva, and there was rogzal shel Yosef, that there's battles that still need to be fought. Thank you, Hashem, al milchamos. Thank you for the milchamos. Thank you for giving me that fighting spirit. Thank you for giving me the courage, kisarisa. Thank you for all those times I fell, because Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, because the falling helps me to get up. And maybe my whole life, says the Baal HaTanya, is nothing other than a fight. Maybe my Yitzhahara is here to help me grow. I want to just end with a beautiful insight I came across recently from the second Rebbe of Radomsk, the Chesed Lavram. In the back of the Chesed Lavram from Radomsk, he has a section of insights on Gemara. And there's a very famous Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says that a Jew says to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, really, Hashem, you know I want to do your will. But what gets in the way? Two things get in the way. The Yitzhahara gets in the way. And Shibud Malchios, the fact that we're in exile, gets in the way. Su'ur Shabi'isa, in the language of the Gemara, the leaven in the dough, which means the Yitzhahara in my heart. And Shibud Malchios and the Umos Ha'olam, who hold me in captivity and take advantage of us. So says Rav Avram Yisachar Be'er Kohen Miradamsk, Zuchuso Yagin Aleinu. He says in source number 11, Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha Omiba Akiv Soor Shabisa Vashim Malchus. This is Rav Alexandri's Tefillah and Brachos Yud Zayin of Aleph. When Rav Alexandri would finish davening, he would say, Hashem, you know we want to do your will, but these two things get in the way. Why is the Yitzhahara called the leaven in the dough? It's such an obvious vart that he says, I never thought about it until I found this recently. I was very excited about this. Look what he says. What's the connection to the Shibud Malchus? Why is the Yitzhahara called the leaven in the dough? What does leaven do to the dough? Chametz makes it rise. That when a Jew fights against his Yitzhahara, why is Yitzhahara Tov Ma'od in the Medrash? Because it's the battle against the Yitzhahara that allows me to truly get close to Hashem. Because a Malach is an Omed. A Malach is Bikesh Yaakov Leishi B'Shalva. Malachim have Shalva. Malachim have Menuchas HaNefesh. Malachim don't have struggles. A Malach is able to do its ratzon, whatever Hashem wants of it, without too much difficulty, to carry out its tachlis, without too many questions. A Jew has to battle. But when a person battles, then he has the ability to be bigger than a Malach, to grow close to Hashem. V'od the machmas shu baal b'chira, like the Rambam told us, nikra holech. A man is a holech. He has the ability to want to choose to go forward. Like I shared with some of you last Tuesday night, the beautiful pshat that the Rebbe Rayat said from the Maggid of Mezrich on the last day of Pesach in 1945, on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. What's the pasuk in Yeshayah in Parak Tes? Ha'am ha'holchim b'choshech ra'u or gadol. The nation that walked in darkness saw the great light. To choose to be a holech means to be a human being, to be a baal b'chira, to push ahead when it's dark, to not accept the menios, because timna is the world of Amalek, is the world of Esav, is the world of Alifas. V'hine se'or hu gam kain, she'im nosin se'or she'v'isa hu mekari v'se'isa lios nachon lafos. What does se'or do? What does the leaven do? The leavening agent in the dough helps it to become what it's supposed to be. It helps it become bread. It helps it to rise up, and to lift itself up, to reach its full potential. So the Yitzhahara can become what? Can be something that helps us to grow close to Hashem. And if we don't obviously use it in the right way, then obviously it holds us back. And of course it can become chametz and it can become destructive. But the notion again of the Yitzhahara helping us to rise up and to reach our full potential is an amazing idea. To see the Yitzhahara as a companion in a sense, because he really is. He's a Malach Hashem Tzavakos that wants us to achieve great things. His job is to fight against us. But our job is to fight back and to use him in a way in the service of Hashem. So we'll just end with one of my favorite quotes from Rav Mordechai Lechavitcher, from Ramat Lechavitcher, also quoting the Sefer Torah Savos in the back of the Sefer, in source number 12. He says that Rav Mordechai of Lechavitch used to say, "B'molchemes hayetzer noisnim mahalomos umekablim mahalom." If you remember, again, it's amazing. These are exactly the lashonos that the Piazetzner used, right? The Piazetzner said, "Don't be the type of person who behachna is mekabel the mahalomos yetzahara. Don't let the yetzahara turn you into a punching bag. Fight back. Don't surrender. If you're surrendering, you're lazy." And again, you're lacking in the essential quality of what it means to be a Jew. Understand that you're going to take a beating, Rav Hunter said. You're going to lose some battles, but you're going to win the war. Because if you fight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it, Vatuchal. Your job is Yisrael, Kisarisa. So says Rav Mordechai Lechavitcher, in Melchemes HaYetzer, Nosnim Mahalomos, Mekam Mahalomos. You give a punch, and you take a punch. In a boxing match, everyone gets beat up. You take a punch and you give a punch. But the ikar is who throws the last punch. Who throws the knockout punch at the end of the... Everyone's beat up. Muhammad Ali spent 3 weeks, I think 3 weeks in the hospital. You know that famous picture of Muhammad Ali standing over the guy? Like that? Yeah, who'd he beat? Who'd he fight?
I don't know about that. I
think
Sonny Liston.
Who? Sonny Liston.
That's
Frazier? Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston.
Right? So you look at him, you look at him in that picture, and you're like, wow, what a gibor, right? What a strong person, wow. Yeah? Pretty boy Ali. They called him Pretty Boy Ali. He had such a clean face. Pretty Boy Ali. His face was a punching bag over a million times over his career. And in that picture, he looks like, right? He looks like, was like, not even a question that he was going to win that match. He literally went from that picture to a hospital, and he spent at least a couple weeks, maybe more than a few weeks, completely destroyed from that boxing match. So the Metzius is Lahavdil in Melchemes HaYetzer. The Metzius is, take a punch and give a punch. But the Ikar is, who throws that last punch? Who throws the last punch? That's the question mark. And we know the answer. The answer is that we throw the last punch. But the goal is to be someone who fights. The person who doesn't surrender and is lazy about it. The person who says, my Yetzer Hara is too big and it's too difficult. So I'm just going to create new Yetzer Haras and just keep patting myself on the back that, it's so muddy, but I cleaned up a little bit, so it's good enough. No, it's not good enough. You have to cover ground. For every hit that he hit you, hit back twice. For every time he tried to get you in Rivera, wake up the next morning and set out to do a mitzvah. And then a mirtzah Hashem, in this way, will be zocha to v'tischach liyom achron, where we get the last laugh and the last punch with the gula b'mehir b'yameinu amen. Shkoyach.